Checking in with Quincy City Council President Ward 3 Councillor Ian Kane for a recap of what was the first full City Council meeting after summer break. Ian, how are you?
I'm well, Joe. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for checking in with us. And
Of course.
I know you had an active summer, and congratulations on your Senate campaign.
Thank you. Yeah, it was I took on a project 6 months ago, and it concluded last Tuesday. It was a worthwhile endeavor. I had a great time. I met wonderful people across the state. I learned so much, and everything really I gained, I get to take forward with me.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think that, you know, there were a couple of factors that stood out, one being money. I mean, we raised a good deal of money, but one of my opponents raised a great deal of money. And that matters with trying to, I guess, amplify your message across the state. But, you know, we were trying to run a grassroots campaign, and we made it to many cities and towns from here to the west and south and north. And so I'm proud of what we did. I'm proud of the message and the presentation. So I feel, you know, I've grown personally through the effort too. And so, yeah, I would absolutely do something like this again. You know, this was hardly even on the horizon before, so I don't necessarily have anything on the horizon now, but, you know, I'm already back in it this week. We're going to debrief on the city council meeting from last night, but I still have my organization, Cubic Labs, which has been continuing to thrive. And we actually have an event that we host annually called Boston Blockchain Week. This is the third year that we've hosted it in Kilroy Square in Quincy Center, which starts today. So never a dull moment.
Yeah, to be honest, I am a neophyte when it comes to blockchain technology. I don't know much about it. I know it's an emerging field, though, for sure.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, we'll have we'll do another call on that.
For sure. I did want to ask you how your, you know, statewide campaign will impact your actions on the city council, or if they will.
I don't know. I mean, because I've learned a lot in how other cities and towns operate or the issues that exist there. But, you know, even before this experience, I had always been acutely aware of when people bring issues to a city or town that don't necessarily exist there. And so I want to continue to be mindful that, you know, I'm the Ward 3 representative that is the city council president, you know, with Quincy in mind. And I want to be sure that I continue to represent those interests of the city of Quincy. But, you know, that doesn't also mean that there aren't things that other cities and towns do better, right, than Quincy. And so there are definitely opportunities to bring in some of those potential solutions. But, you know, having this new perspective, Quincy is in a great place. Quincy is doing things right. We, you know, are not in similar financial constraints like some cities and towns. You know, we haven't done a Prop 2.5 override in Quincy in what, 4 decades. And, you know, our budget's sound, our finances are sound, our schools are sound, our public safety is sound. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be living in Quincy, which is growing. And when we're seeing other cities and towns either stagnant or even in decline.
So, never one to bury the lead. Can we jump ahead to your resolution last night, Ian, with regards to amending the state's right to shelter law?
Sure. Yeah. So, this is certainly something that came up on the road a lot that I learned about, but also you can see the effects of this rule in Quincy. You know, this is, I think, what, a year and a half ago was when Eastern Nazarene was. I don't know if you can use the term forced, or however they were contracted or mandated by the state to open up this welcome center for migrants that were coming into the state. And, you know, what you've seen now is trickle down and next order effects from an overburdened statewide shelter system that is now turning a particular group of people into a homelessness class, you know, whereby they're sleeping at T stations, including at the Wollaston T station. So, you know, there is a statewide issue that is connected to a federal issue that has not been solved, which is that, you know, we continue to allow our border to be open, and we have a backlog of adjudicated, you know, cases that need to be processed. And there are things that need to be done from the federal level, but the state has this sort of loophole that allows illegal immigrants to have a right to shelter here in Massachusetts. And at the, I guess, deprioritization of residents of Massachusetts and citizens of the United States. And so this resolution was a suggestion, you know, or an expression, a message to be sent to our state delegation, to state legislators, as well as to the governor, that this is something that needs to be amended. You know, we've learned all about the financial burden. We see the physical burden, but this is not a situation that is being dealt with the compassion that I think people believe it deserves. And if people are coming from other places of origin for a better life, you know, this isn't helping the situation. And we're also then jeopardizing the folks who live here in Massachusetts and that are citizens of the US.
Have you had any feedback from the state legislature about this?
Not immediately, but you know, this was, again, it's a resolution, it's an expression of interest, it's a place to start a conversation. And I think the conversation, you know, we were lucky to get a message out. The resolution passed 6-3. Three councils voted against it, but you know, I think it's, again, it's a place to start a conversation because it doesn't seem like the governor is taking any action to change it. And I don't see the majority, you know, almost 90% majority Democrat elected legislature taking any measures to change this.
Do you know that are other states that do not have such a shelter law experiencing the
Yep,
same
my
problem?
understanding is that we are the only state in the country to have this.
Okay. Right, 6-3, it passed. Councilors Harris, Ash, and Liang not supporting it for their own personal reasons. There was the issue of the humanitarian side of this, you know, what to do with these folks in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a, as I said, if we think we're approaching this currently with a humanitarian lens, I think we're being misguided. And this is not about anti-immigration. This is not allowing people to come here through proper legal channels. This is exactly, you know, the opposite. This is, why don't we get our house in order and make sure that we can continue to accept people in the right way? Because what we're doing is actually setting up a dual standard of law. Because we have a particular group of people who are coming through the United States borders through less than legal means. Massachusetts is superseding, or apparently, those laws, right, with the right to shelter law. But what people optically are seeing is that people are coming here illegally, and essentially they're being rewarded as soon as they get here by being provided food and shelter and even, you know, onward transportation or what have you. And that's a cost and a burden to the taxpayers.
The other resolution, of course, last night that drew some interest was the proposal ceasefire in Gaza.
And so, you know, I outlined this last night at the council meeting, but this had been a resolution that had been consistently submitted to members of the city council, including myself. And I wasn't interested in putting it on the agenda. And I don't think any of my other colleagues were interested in putting it on the agenda, which is why it never came up. But I said, you know what, let's just put it on because I think that there is, you know, an opportunity for a perspective to be brought to light. And you don't have to agree with it. I certainly don't. I don't agree with it from the start, which is why, you know, why I said what I have said. And you know, I think that it's what, well, this issue in particular, you know, which I don't even think is germane to the Quincy City Council, because it's an issue that is very much out of our control. It exists in the Middle East between, you know, I would say two parties, but it's multiple parties, and it's a global issue that is so delicate and so emotionally filled, you know, that last night we saw that come to life in the city council chambers. And you know, again, the sentiments that were expressed in the resolution as outlined, I don't agree with. And you know, I'm glad that the motion failed. It wasn't even, you know, moved forward for a vote, so it died on presentation. And you know, that's where that is.
And you mentioned last night that the resolution itself was prepackaged. Where did it actually come from?
It came from, I don't know who was the original author of the resolution, but I know that we, you know, probably all of us were presented with a version of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we talk about some other agenda items in
Of
regards to
course.
city
Absolutely.
news, right?
Yep.
In terms of this Quantum Elementary School, some funding requests.
Yep. So there is an additional $1.8 million proposed for furthering the design and construction for the Squantum School project. And so this would be part of the package for the Mass School Building Authority that we approved in the springtime. I think we did. I'm sorry, I don't have the full details on that. But in any event, it went into committee. It will be heard. And we will see what happens with that. Outside of those resolutions, there were a number of gifts accepted. One from the Copeland Family Foundation to the for an animal control vehicle. Another gift from the Copeland Family Foundation for animal shelter. A gift from Father Bill Mainspring for IT classes. We've got a gift from the Wollaston Garden Club, the Housenet Garden Club, and the Seaside Gardeners of Squantum for the natural resources plant a tree. Gifts from various donors for DARE in honor of the recently passed Sergeant John Ryan, and gifts from various donors for DARE generally, and then a gift from various donors for DARE Camp. And that was our regularly scheduled agenda.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about the ordinance either for the housing overlay district.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, and it went into ordinance, but this
Okay.
is to provide a senior housing overlay district over the area that is Eastern Nazarene College. So the idea is that this property be preserved for the sake of expanding on our senior housing availability in the city, which I think is a very interesting concept. I think, you know, we talk about housing all the time in different ways, and you know, whether it's through development, which we're seeing a particular product of residential real estate be developed, but seniors need access to housing too, and there's limited stock of that. You know, and this is a unique opportunity to keep some of those families who, or families or individuals rather, that could be living in a single home that could make, you know, make that available for a family that wants to move into the city, because we still live in a very desirable area. So I think that this is a unique project.
Into ordinance committee it went to.
That went into ordinance committee, yes.
Okay, very good. Okay. Oh, did you want to comment at all on the rally outside City Hall last night, Ian, with regards to the salaries?
No.
Okay. When is your next council meeting?
Next Monday, the 16th at
Okay.
6:30.
All right. Appreciate the update.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Take care.